tonight, thanking God is the first step of faith. You not only need to thank God for what has happened and what he has done, but you need to thank God ahead of time for what he's going to do. So let's have some future tense thanksgiving tonight. How about that? Future tense thanksgiving. Let's thank God ahead of time. Now, there are thousands of promises in the Bible, and all of them are designed to be claimed. Doctrines are to be believed. Sin is to be confessed, but promises are to be claimed. How do you claim a promise? By thanking God for the fulfillment before it comes. Now, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's God our provider. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's God our peace. So if you're lacking peace tonight, go ahead and thank him for peace before you get it. Amen. If you got to need a job, thank him before it shows up. You need provision, thank him for it ahead of time. You need healing, thank him ahead of time. Amen. I mean, whatever you need, go ahead and thank God ahead of time. Now, I want you to give a little thought right here. What do you need from the Lord? You got a relationship that needs to get fixed? Let's go ahead and thank him for fixing that situation. You need a restoration? Thank him for a restoration. You need a touch from God in your heart, in your mind, to thank him ahead of time. You need a deliverance? Let's thank him. So let's pray like this. Lord, thank you for and thank him for something that hadn't happened yet, but it's in the bank. How many with me on this part right here? We're going to have sentence prayers. That means there's a subject, a verb, and an adverb or something, but it's not a paragraph, all right? We're going to have sentence prayers tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Pray one at a time. I want you to pray loud enough for the rest of us to join in and believe with you. And you thank God for what you need tonight, all right? Father, thank you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Claim some promises tonight, thinking ahead of time. Father, thank you for the victory that's in the bag and in the bank. God, thank you tonight that you're going to talk to our hearts. Thank you for helping tonight and sending your spirit to fill us. Now, right now, with your head bowed and eyes closed, just open up your heart, especially to the Lord, and thank him for talking to you personally. Just in the quietness of your heart, just utter a prayer of gratitude, a prayer of faith, a prayer of thanksgiving ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. God, you can be seated. There was a policeman one time flying down the highway doing 100 miles an hour chasing this guy in the car. Finally, the speeding guy pulled over on the side of the road, and the policeman went up to him and said, "Sir, your taillight was out. Why were you trying to get away? Why were you trying to escape?" And the man said, "Well, last week my wife ran off with a policeman, and I was afraid you're going to try to bring her back." Now, that guy, I want to talk to you tonight about fear. That guy was afraid. Now, that's the only funny thing I'm going to have to say in this sermon tonight. Come tomorrow night, I have a very encouraging word, and lemon meringue or whatever that thing is, it's going to be good. But seriously tonight, fear is a very serious subject. And I want to tell you, men's hearts are failing them for fear. Somebody cataloged 700 phobias, 700 things that people are afraid of. One guy compiled the top 10 things that men fear. Listen to this. The top 10 things that men fear. Number one, public speaking. I don't have a problem with that. Second, heights. I comprehend that. How many are afraid of heights? There's reasons, amen? That's a legitimate fear. Flying. People are afraid of spiders. People are afraid of snakes. I could never go to a snake handling church. I'm just telling you, I could never do it. People are afraid of needles. Amen on that. People are afraid of mice. People are afraid of enclosed places. They call it claustrophobia. People are afraid of thunder and lightning, and people are afraid of death. That's the top 10 things he put on his list. But I got the top thing. The greatest fear of all in our generation is the fear of man. It's called anthropophobia, the fear of man. Now, Proverbs chapter 29, I think we have a text. Read this out loud with me together tonight. Proverbs 29, 25. Read it out loud. The fear of man. We need help on responsive reading in this church. Let's try it one more time tonight. We're going to get it before the week's over. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man brings a snare. You know what that means? The fear of man sets a trap. And I want to tell you that the fear of man sets a trap that will catch you and destroy you. I want to talk to you tonight about the fear of man. I believe it's the greatest fear in the church and in our country. What is the fear of man? Well, the fear of man is valuing the opinions of men more than the opinion of God. The fear of man is valuing the opinions of men more than the opinion of God. The fear of man is valuing the favor of man more than the favor of God. The fear of man is desiring approval from men more than approval from God. Leonard Ravenhill said, the man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by man. The man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by man. You know, when you're more concerned about your public appearance before men than your actual condition before God, you've been snared by the fear of man. Now, what is the fear of man? The fear of man is the disease to please. It's been called the disease to please. There's an inordinate desire for approval, a man-pleasing spirit of the desire, the disease to please. Now, the fear of man is really idolatry. It's really idolatry because idolatry is placing greater value on something other than God himself. And when we esteem men's opinions more than we do God's opinion, it's idolatry, it's the disease to please, and it's very, very serious. Now, the fear of man is Bible language for insecurity. That's all it is. It's Bible language for insecurity. Think about insecurity. What is it? Basing our identity from the approval of other people. What is insecurity, the fear of man? Deriving security from our fellow fallible, frail human beings. Now, I want to tell you, when you have the fear of man, you can overstate your convictions in order to gain the approval of your hearers. Or you will understate your beliefs in order to gain approval from the crowd that you're talking to. And I want to tell you something tonight. It's more important for you and I to feel comfortable in our own skin than trying to get somebody else to feel comfortable with our skin. I want to tell you something. Similarity brings comfort, but brother, it's your difference that's your reward to other people. I'm just here to tell you, it's all right to be different. Say that out loud. It's all right to be different. And now you need to be what God made you to be. Instead of trying to conform to some crowd or some group or somebody's ideal, you just better go for broke and stay within the bounds of Scripture, and everything's going to be all right. All right? Now, insecure people, you know about it. Yeah, how many of you have ever wrestled with insecurity? You know, that's the way you lift your hand when you're insecure. Insecure people derive their personal worth from the attitudes of others. Insecure people are discouraged when others disagree with them. Insecure people are forever comparing themselves with others. And insecure people are constantly critiquing and judging others. You know, when you have the fear of man, you see men big, but you see God small. When you have the fear of man, you see men like giants, and you see God very small. And when you care so much about what other people think, it can keep you from living up to your own convictions. Why? Because men look bigger than God. We're living in a day when people crave approval. I mean, people crave approval. They don't want to step out of bounds for nothing. I was driving over in Roanoke some time ago, and here was a guy that was about 105 degrees, had his shirt off, draped over his shoulder, his t-shirt. And he was one of those guys that had on a pair of shorts that he needed a belt desperately because the waistline of his shorts was down to his crotch. And then he had colorful underwear. I mean, you know, the reason they call it underwear is because it's supposed to be covered by outerwear. Amen? This dude's strutting around, you know, and And on top of that, he had on a stocking hat. It's 106. He must have been smoking dope or something. I don't know what the guy was on. But he's trying to be cool. Now, why? Trying to fit in. Now, can I just say a couple of things to you tonight? How many remember bell bottoms? How many had bell bottoms? How many remember miniskirts? Thank God that went out of shape, especially as you get older. Amen. I mean, whoa. Well, what? How many remember the denim jacket fad? How many remember the big belt fad? How many remember that? How many remember the white shoe fad? How many remember the disco fad? How many remember the medallion fad? Hey, how many ever had a medallion? I mean, now look, don't be hard on the millennials, because you look just as stupid to your parents as they did to you. So, get over it. How many know that everybody's normal until you get to know them? And these people, it's all spazzed out, and they're just trying to find approval. That's what they're doing. But you know, pride is just not just thinking you're better than others. Pride is desiring people to think better of you than you really are. And the fear of man is when you have an undue concern about other men. You have an undue concern about what people say about you, what people do to you, and what people think about you. When you have the fear of man, you have an over-concern about what people say about you, do to you, and think about you. Can I help you tonight? You wouldn't be worried about what other people think about you if you knew how seldom they ever thought about you. They're not sitting around thinking about you all day long. They're not sitting around looking at your picture on Facebook. They couldn't care less. I mean, I got 20,000 friends on one Facebook account. I don't want to see their faces. You know, I don't even know who they are anyhow. Now listen, the fact of the matter is that people who live for God learn to stand alone. If you've ever been around cattle, you see these bulls, they got these nose rings, man. They put this nose ring in the bull's nose. Now, bulls are wild and uncontrollable, but this nose ring is so painful that when somebody pulls on that ring, they can lead that bull anywhere without any resistance whatsoever because it's so painful. And the fear of man is like a spiritual nose ring. As soon as somebody reaches up and yanks it, it can lead you anywhere with no resistance. Why? Because there's a dread fear of being neglected. There's a fear of being ridiculed or persecuted, and there's a craving for the applause of men. Everybody wants to be accepted. And that's why people do all kinds of stuff. People cave into popular customs all the time. Now, do you know that some people that go to church will use cuss words to fit in with the crowd they're talking to? Would you believe that some church people will drink alcohol to try to fit in? I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to worry about becoming a drunk if you don't drink in the first place. If you've ever grown up with a drunk or around a drunk, I'll tell you one thing, you got no respect. You got no respect for that elixir, I'm just telling you. People will cave into the custom of sitting silently while others are slandered. How often is the pastor or somebody in the church attacked and there's disorder in the church and nobody comes to the defense? I know a guy was having prostate surgery, and he had an aggressive form of prostate cancer. He was a pastor, and while he was being operated on, would you believe that's when the people in his church staged their exit while he was being operated on at the lowest point in his life? Let me just say something to you tonight. If you don't like what's going on in the church, or if you don't agree with the teaching, or if you don't like something, that's one thing. There's a right way to do things. But I'm just here to tell you that that kind of behavior is ungodly, it's anti-Christian, and it's dead wrong. Not a single man in that church, to my knowledge, stood up to these people. Not a single man. How come the women got more testosterone than the men nowadays? You tell me. Amen. A bunch of neutered wonders just sitting around with their mouths closed like a bunch of tomcats and don't have enough guts and enough stamina to stand up and speak up when the occasion calls for it. I'm not talking about looking for trouble, and I'm not talking about being mean, and I ain't talking about being harsh and hateful, but I'm just here to tell you there's a time to stand up, but when you have the fear of man, you just sit there and keep your mouth shut and let the women do the talking. If you're a deacon in the house of God, there's going to come a time when you need to stand up and speak up. I'm just hearing that's really good preaching. You know what Jesus said? Can I say this? There's a lots of things acceptable in today's churches that's not acceptable to God. That's one of them. Jesus said to the religious leaders, how can you believe who receive honor one of another? The Pharisees lived on one another's praise. They just love to get a pat on the back. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I go to all kinds of places. And you know, when I go to some places, you know how they introduce me, especially overseas. Reverend Vaughn. That's how they got it in the bulletin. Reverend Vaughn. I take offense at that. Reverend is God's name. Holy and reverend is his name, but they call me Reverend. I was just at a university speaking not too long ago. You know how they introduced me? Dr. Vaughn. I'm not even a nurse's assistant. Well, we're so glad to have Dr. Vaughn with us here today. And then they'll reel off a list of credentials a mile long. He's preached all over the world. He's written 100,000 books and yada, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sitting out there thinking, man, who were they talking about? I'm sitting there thinking, man, I like to hear this guy. And it's going to be good, man. And then I realize it's me, and then it's a mistaken identity. Sometimes I nudge my wife. I said, honey, listen to this man. You don't know how good you got it. Just listen to what that guy's saying. Listen up. Pay attention to this man. Now, listen. A courage is being true to who you are when others want you to be somebody else. Courage is being true to who you are when others want you to be somebody else. I got involved in a situation one time, and these pastors called me in at the end of it, and it was a prayer advance that we had sponsored. They wanted us to sponsor it, and they said, now, we just want to say a few things. I said, go ahead. And one of them said, well, Brother Harold, and they weren't mean or nothing. They just said, Brother Harold, you know, some of the people saw your promotional video. And some of the pastors didn't come because they didn't like the fact that you had a guitar in the pulpit. Goodbye, stringed instruments, Psalm 150. Then they said, now, some of them saw your promotional video, Brother Harold, and they didn't like the fact that some of you people in your meetings are lifting hands. I said, goodbye, 17 lifting references to lifting up holy hands in the house of God. It wouldn't hurt some of y'all to get in on this right here. Amen. Amen. I got on this morning. I said, yes, my wife. I was having a big time out there listening to that song called The Goodness of God. And I just want to tell you, I want to give you permission tonight to rejoice. And you know, some of us would have made better Pentecostals. Say amen on that part right there. At least they're happy, praise God. I mean... It's better than our crowd. Hey, I was in a church one time, and you know, the guy leading the singing, he would have to read every word of the verse, and then he would expound the verse. Then we'd sing. Then he'd read, and this is the kind of guy. He's never been excited, not even on his honeymoon, I don't think. I mean, this guy. And he would read the verse and expound it. Read the verse and expound it. And I said to my wife, I said, I wish a church of God would invite me to come so I can get some decent music. I'm just telling you, brother. But anyhow, so you know, I'm in this meeting, and they pointed out these things. And you know what I said to them? I said, boys, y'all need to take this and own it, because I can't be what you want me to be. I can't be what you want me to be. In fact, I ain't even going to try. I wasn't ugly. They weren't ugly either. We're friends. I still go, not as the sponsor, but only as a participant. And can I say something to you? That the fear of man is a misdirected fear. The fear of man is the wrong kind of fear, because it's the gateway to bigger problems. Now, what does the fear of man do? Let's talk about this, what the fear of man does. What is the fallout from the fear of man? Well, the fear of man debilitates the mind. It deadens the conscience, and it seals the lips of the saints. Let me give you four things the fear of man does. Number one, the fear of man robs you of courage. The fear of man robs you of courage. Well, I can't speak up for Jesus because I work for the government. Really? Is that all Jesus means to you? Really? I tell you what I told them dudes that wanted to know what my gender at birth was. I said, don't ask me any more of these stupid government questions. I ain't going to answer them. I wasn't trying to be hateful. I just refused to answer it. But what about old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were commanded to worship this image, but they refused to worship this image. And they said, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we're not going to worship your image. And they threw him in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow, they didn't budge, and they didn't burn. And they were not afraid of the threats and the taunts. Adrian Rogers said, Jesus didn't come to get you out of trouble. He came to get in trouble with you. If you're going to live for God, you're probably going to get in trouble every now and then. It'd be good to get in trouble for the right reason instead of the wrong reason. Now, better to be in the fire with the fourth man than out of the fire without him. Amen. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Wow. You know, the 10 spies came back in the Old Testament with an evil report about the promised land. So how come the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness? What was the problem? The fear of man. They heard this evil report. They were afraid of the giants, the opposition, the walled cities, and all that stuff. And the 10 spies had stripped the faith out of the Israelites. But if they had listened to Caleb, the outcome would have been different. You know, Caleb, when he was about 85. I want to tell you about old Caleb, buddy. His body was in the wilderness, but his heart was always in the promised land. And you know what he said? He said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go up at once and possess. He wasn't afraid. God had given it to him anyhow. But they had to fight for it. How many of you know when God gives you something, you still got to fight for it? How many of you know that when you don't lack your peace, you got to fight for peace? When you lack your joy, you got to fight for joy. When you're lacking love in your home, you got to fight for love in your home. How many of you know you got to start claiming some stuff without waiting for the goosebumps to run up and down your spine? Say amen on that point. Amen. You just go ahead and do right whether you feel like it or not. I like what you said tonight. When you don't feel like praying, just, did you say pray or praise? Pray. Okay? So when you don't feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like praying, praise. Tune in on the Times Square Church with that song called I Believe. And buddy, after about 10 minutes of that, you'll be wound up. I'm just telling you, brother. You can cut out on your caffeine if you listen to that often enough. I'm just telling you. Now listen, he said, let's go up at once and possess it. Oh, Caleb was ready to go forward. He said, we're well able to take the land, but the 10 spies were ready to go back into bondage. And the Israelites listened to the 10 faithless cowards. They were listening to the wrong voices, and it proved to be fatal. They all perished in the wilderness. You better be paying attention to the voices you allow to speak into your life. And I want to tell you something. There's some toxic preaching going on. There's some toxic people going around. And you better be real careful not to imbibe on the wrong voices. When fear walks in, faith walks out. Say that out loud. When fear walks in, faith walks out. One more time. When fear walks in, faith walks out. You better be careful who you're giving audience to. The fear of man robs you of courage. It takes the fight out of you. The fear of man caused Abraham to lie and tell that his wife was his sister. The fear of man caused Aaron to build a golden calf when the Israelites said, make us gods to lead us. Why? Because we don't know what happened to Moses. And he fashioned a golden calf to placate the people. The fear of man caused Elijah to run for his life from Jezebel. But he had called down fire. He had shut up the heavens. He slew all these prophets of Baal, and he's trembling in fear of a godless woman. The fear of man caused Pilate to put Jesus on trial. Listen to this. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Nothing. But the crowd shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate sentenced an innocent man to die. The fear of man caused Peter to deny the Lord 3 times. And he was cursing and swearing. Peter was cursing and swearing. He didn't do it his whole life long, but he did right here. Listen to this. He was afraid he was going to go down with Jesus. So here he is warming at the enemy's fire. The fear of man robs you with courage. Would you go along with that? Second, the fear of man hinders Christians from witnessing. The fear of man hinders Christians from witnessing. You know, I just put a thing on my Facebook account the other day called Sham Religion. You ought to read it. It's pretty good. Sham religion. Two senators in our state want to abort children up to 9 months. And our governor believes it's all right to kill them after they're born if they don't measure up to standards. I wonder if he would have measured up to somebody's standards taking a look at him. So we got half the churches in the country that go along with this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's a time to separate from evil. And I just want to tell you, if your denomination endorses the killing of the unborn, you ought to hit the door yesterday. Amen. Or else join the lodge and don't make a false profession because you ain't got nothing. Now, no sin has robbed Christians of more witnessing opportunities than the fear of man. You know what the fear of man is? It's a fear of rejection. Fear of reprisal. Remember David, the shepherd boy? He went out to visit his brothers and there was old Goliath running his mouth, coming out twice a day for 40 days. And everybody else was terrified. Soldiers sitting around cowering in fear. And old David, you know, he wasn't afraid. He killed a lion and a bear. You know, all the soldiers were intimidated by Goliath. And listen, David's brothers thought that Goliath was too big to fight. All of the army, Saul's army, thought that Goliath was too big to fight, but David thought that Goliath was too big to miss. So he picked up his and I'll let him have it. I met a man the other day, he raises chameleons. Chameleons, the most colorful, brilliant reptiles on the planet. Even more, by the way, you know down in Florida, when the women get to be about 85 and they're down there with their miniskirts, reptiles in miniskirts, amen. Some things ought to be covered up for more reasons than one. But he had these chameleons. Now, you put a chameleon on a green plant, it turns green. Put it on a blue shirt, turns blue. Put it on an orange blanket, turns orange. Put it on a patchwork quilt and have a nervous breakdown. Strip gears. Now, you know what a chameleon Christian is? It's somebody who's afraid to stand out, to speak up. They just want to blend in. And I believe that more witnessing opportunities are lost because of the fear of man than any other cause. Think about your own experience. I think about my experience. You know, boldness is one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was in New York City back in Bible college. My buddy, Dave Early, we got on the subway, and before I knew what was happening, when the doors closed, he stood to his feet. He yelled out, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about the greatest man that ever lived." And he commenced to walk up and down that streetcar in New York City. How many know that New York City have worse countenances than Baptists? Yeah. Ain't nobody happy in New York City, man. And this guy was walking up and down preaching the gospel, and I thought, man, you talk about boldness, street preaching. We was in Yanceyville, North Carolina one time, and I got in that meeting, and we went over to the roller rink and found the manager and said, "Hey, after service, church service, we'd like to come over and preach the gospel to the kids in the roller rink. Would that be okay?" He said, "Sure, that'd be great." We went over there, they shut the music off, everybody rolled out, sat down, and that week, brother, 39 people came to the Lord. And you know what? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you just go for broke on stuff like that. You don't even think twice about it. But you know, how many were better witnesses before you knew so much? How many were better witnesses before you knew so much? Heard about a guy on a desert island, Wesley Duell told a story. They led him to the Lord and gave him a Bible. Never been in a church service his entire life. They came back a couple of years later and found out the guy who had never attended a church service, never heard a sermon in his entire life, had led 25 of the islanders to the Lord without any instruction whatsoever. What's that? The filling of the Holy Ghost. That's what that is. Now, a lot of us, we have ESP, extra spiritual perception, ESP. You say, what does that mean? Well, we look at people and we can predict the likelihood of whether they want to be saved or not by looking at them. Well, that guy, he probably wouldn't be interested in salvation. How many of God's people are afraid? We're afraid at times to open our mouths to share the gospel because we're choked with fear about what people might think. Well, I can give the gospel to them right now, Brother Earl. I might run them off. They're already going to hell. You ain't got nothing to lose. Go for broke. Amen. Kind of a stupid excuse is that anyhow? Oh, brother. By the way, how many here tonight, let's be honest, how many ever feel like How many of you have ever felt like you're not in a position to give out the gospel or witness to anybody until you get your own act together? Have you ever felt like that? Well, one day I was had fallen into some kind of a sin, and here's a bunch of Mexicans, and I had these Spanish tracts, and I was sitting there thinking, well, Harold, you shouldn't go out there and share anything, because look at yourself. You know what I did? I said, I confessed the sin. I didn't feel like it. I just went ahead and went for broke anyhow. And you know something? It's better to do something imperfectly than to do nothing at all. So let's get over some of this stuff. Now, you'll never lead a soul to Christ if you don't try. Look at Peter. He had denied the Lord 3 times in a row. He was cursing and swearing. He was identified with the enemies of Christ. And here he is. But he got clear in the upper room. I said he got clear in the upper room. He stood up at Pentecost and he said, you boys who crucified the Son of God by wicked hands. And good night. He got up there and thundered out the truth of God and the gospel. 3,000 people got born again. He was brimming with confidence. Why? He forgot all about his failure and his denial. Let me tell you something tonight. You know what I need? You know what you need tonight? Yeah. You need a conscience cleansed by the blood from an evil conscience. You need the cleansing of the blood to wash over you. Yeah. I'm just telling you, God doesn't want you living under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. I remember when I first got into the kingdom, half the preaching was guilt-invoking messages every week. Every week! Now, every now and then, we need a swift kick in the pants, amen, but a little encouragement to go along with it wouldn't hurt nothing, so come tomorrow night for the encouragement. Got to come back to get it, all right? Now, listen, God doesn't want you living under a cloud of guilt and condemnation. Listen to me, God's grace is greater than your failure. Christ's blood is stronger than your guilt. His mercy is bigger than your mess. And when you mess up, fess up. If you mess up, just fess up. But only confess your sins once. By the way, don't go blabbering your weaknesses to everybody on the planet. If you got a confidant that can help you and pray with you and help you, okay. But only confess your faults one time. Don't confess a repeated a fault repeatedly. Because what you're saying is, God didn't forgive me, so I'm going to have to do a little more penance and a few more Hail Marys to get this covered here. Now, that's not the way it works. Once you confess your sin to God, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. If you don't feel forgiven, keep on thanking him until you do. And sometimes when you can't even pray, I'll give you a little tip. I live out in the country, so I can do anything. I mean, you know, it's advantages to living in the country. We won't go into all of them, but let me just tell you one of them. Going down the highway, going down the road like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Instead of being self-pity and looking in on yourself and nursing and just feeling sorry about how sorry you've been, just get on with the praise a little bit right here, I'm telling you, and get up and move on. It's time that God's people learn to believe the word of God. And the Bible says when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. I don't care whether you feel like it or not. Just go ahead and claim it by faith because it's the truth. There's power in the blood. The disciples spent 10 days in the upper room getting clear, getting right before the fire fell at Pentecost. And I want to tell you something. A good revival will take the starch out of your stiff soul. A good revival will loosen you up a little bit. Just telling you, the fear of man robs Christians of witnessing opportunities. Listen to this one. The fear of man paralyzes the work of God. The fear of man, it paralyzes the work of God. Countless congregations are immobilized by the fear of man. It's the root cause of all disobedience. This over-the-top reverence for human hierarchies and customs. How many know that every group has customs and traditions? Oh, well, that's what the Methodists do. That's what the Presbyterians do. That's what the Nazarenes do. But we Baptists, we don't have any customs and traditions. Are you crazy? Are you blind? I mean, really? Honestly? You know, old Wesley, John Wesley got born again. He was a slave trader. He was a profane man. He got converted. Do you realize that he traded slaves for 6 years after he was born again? Somebody came up to him and said, how in the world could you continue in this immoral profession of trading in human traffic and selling slaves after your conversion. You know what he said? He said it was the custom of the day. It was accepted. It was the custom of the day. How many of you know that there's some stuff that we've been blind to in our churches?
Amen.
We'll help you tonight if you'll let me.
Amen.
You better get over some of that prejudice. You better get over some of that over-the-top allegiance. You better get over some of that stuff. He's here to tell you the opinion of God's more opinion about what anybody else thinks. And I ain't talking about trying to be hateful and stir up trouble and be contentious. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about just get filled with the Holy Ghost and take a risk and go for broke. You know something? I'm not assigned to everybody. I mean, I got enough sense to know that I can't minister to everybody, but I can minister to somebody. So I better be going to the people I can minister to. I'll tell you one thing. You better go where you're celebrated instead of where you're tolerated. I'll tell you where I fit. I fit with the hungry-hearted, the revival-hearted, and the broken-hearted. Secondary things don't mean nothing to me no more. I couldn't care less about the rules and regs on secondary issues. I got about 8 things, buddy. I ain't negotiating. I ain't backing down on. But, brother, not everything's a non-negotiable. See, I'm on that point right there. Now, what about this? The cross crucifies the culture. The cross crucifies the culture. Now, some will not discipline their children because they're obsessed over their children's approval. They won't correct them. They won't bring any sort of discipline to bear. I've heard of parents condoning all kinds of sin and basically financing their own children's immorality because they're afraid of losing the favor of their children. Well, I want the favor of my children, but I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to right and wrong and training and correct, bro, we've got to have some of this. It's time for parents to take back the ownership of, responsibility for, and the control of their own children. Parents that don't discipline their children hate them. And the children, they read it as rejection. Well, what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, then are you illegitimate and not even sons, the Bible says. R.G. Lee said, parental authority has not disappeared. The children have taken it over. How many people are afraid to speak up for truth in their own family? And they just let it slide. How many people are afraid to speak up for truth on their job when there's dishonest practice because they're afraid of getting fired? How many people are afraid to speak up for truth among God's people and they let compromises slide? The fear of man has stumbled the best of saints, and nobody is immune from this insidious phobia called the fear of man, anthrophobia. Now, there's only one antidote for the fear of man. You know what it is? There's only one antidote for the fear of man. It's the fear of God. It's the fear of God. And the reason there's so little fear of God in America is because there's so much fear of man. And if you want to overcome the fear of man, you're going to have to cultivate a supreme reverence for Almighty God. When you fear God, you don't fear people. You know, the midwives were commanded by Pharaoh to kill all the male children, but they didn't do it. You know why? Because they feared God. The disciples disobeyed authorities when the authorities said, don't speak anymore in Jesus' name. You know what they did? They couldn't help but speak out. They told them to shut up, but they kept on talking anyhow. And when our government takes away the tax-exempt status because we believe in Bible morality, just go without the tax-exempt status and stand for the truth. That'll come within the next 10 years. It's coming. And I ain't talking about being hateful. And by the way, let me just explain a few things right here. I don't call people names anymore. I don't believe in that. I don't believe we need to be rude to people. I was down at the YMCA. I need to go back. Amen. There was this profane guy in the class. He's an atheist. I think he's homosexual. Pretty sure. So I invited him to go to Mill Mountain Coffee Shop. And I'm going to tell him about Jesus. And you know, I took him out. How many know that you don't have to be mean to people? You don't have to call people names. I mean, as such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are clean, but you are sanctified, you are justified. I listened to him, and he grew up in the same kind of church I did. You know what I should have told him? I said, look, if I'd only been exposed to what you've been exposed to, I'd be an atheist as well. But I gave my testimony. I said, I heard about Jesus, man. He died for my sins. I just poured, he just sat there, you know. I think he was nervous. But if so, I'm not talking about, are y'all with me on this point right here? I ain't talking about saying stupid things and calling people's names. I'm not in names, but I'm just talking about standing for the truth instead of the fear of man. That's what I'm talking about. Now, the only thing that can deliver us from the fear of man is the fear of God. So we need to cultivate a supreme reverence for God. Now, read this out loud. The only thing that can deliver us from the fear of man is the fear of God. Why? Perfect love cast out fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, who did? Well, it wasn't the Lord. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what the deep Greek and Hebrew meaning of the word fear is? You know what it means? Fear. It means fear. It's not just reverence, because in Hebrews it says that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So it's two different things here, similar but different. People who fear God don't pay any attention to the opinion polls. The only thing you want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. But if we could get on that level, we'd have some. Now, the fear of man, let me give you the fourth point. The fear of man sends people to hell. The fear of man sends people to hell. No sin has damned more souls than the fear of man. Jesus warned about a man-fearing spirit. Look what he says here. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Fear not them. Don't fear men which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The only time most church people hear the word hell is when somebody has a verbal slip at the ball game. There's a strange silence concerning the warnings of the New Testament to the saved and to the unsaved. You know, the idea is kind of put over nowadays that God is too good to send anybody to hell. God is just too good to send anybody to hell. I had a man come up to me the other day and said, Harold, I'm sick of the God loves you sermons. Because some guys, that's all they ever say. Thank God for the love of God. I wouldn't underestimate it, but that's only part of the truth. And the love of God hadn't got rid of the lake of fire. Anybody with me on this point right here? Jesus said, don't fear the guy that can kill your body. You better be worried about the one that can destroy your soul and body in hell. God's too good to send men to hell, and men are too good for God to send them to hell. That's the mentality. But Jesus said, look out. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus under the cover of night? Because he was afraid. He was afraid of being identified with Jesus and getting kicked out of the synagogue. So he came under the shadow of darkness. It was the fear of man. He was afraid, but he came. And he got born again, praise God. What about the religious leaders? Why did they refuse to confess Christ? Because of fear. John 12, among the chief rulers, many believed on him. Many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What's more important to you tonight, the approval of your peers or the approval of your God? What's more important, acceptance from the culture or acceptance from Christ? What's more important, the favor of your family or the favor of your Heavenly Father? Jesus Christ is the greatest unifier in the history of the human race. I mean, he's pulled people together out of every tribe and every tongue and every shape and size and stripe there is, but he's also the greatest polarizing figure that's ever entered on the human stage. I'm telling you. You're either for him or you're against him, and the fear of man sends people to hell. I was in high school. I was witnessing to a classmate, but he wouldn't get saved. You know why? Because his father was so profane and he didn't approve of Christianity. He didn't approve of the Bible. He didn't approve of anything to do with God. And this boy, this son, he would not give his life to the Lord because of his Father. The fear of man keeps people from getting saved. I was in Clay, West Virginia, got in a hot meeting. One night a man stood in the back of the church, moral man, church man, family man, businessman, good man, comparatively speaking, but a lost man. He stood up and here's what he said. He said, I've known for years that I've never had a new birth experience. That's what he said. He said, I've known for years I've never had a new birth experience with Christ. But he said, I've been afraid to admit it because I've been afraid about what you people would think if I told you I was lost. And then he broke down crying. And he said, tonight I realized for the first time that at the judgment seat, not only will you know that I was lost, the whole universe is going to know I'm lost. So he said, if you're going to know it then, you just might as well know it now. He said, I'm a lost soul and I need to be saved. Wept his way right into the kingdom of God. Now, what kept that guy from getting saved? Well, the fear of man. Jesus said, don't fear those that kill the body, but can kill the soul. Fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm just telling you, if you expect Jesus to stand up for you at the judgment seat, you're going to have to stand up for him now. Here's what Jesus said. Whoever shall confess me before men, whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Look at this. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I don't believe there's any secret agent Christians. I mean, you're either out in the open or you're not. You know, everybody else is out of the closet. It's about time some of the lost people got out of the closet and sided with Jesus. I'm just telling you, that's what ought to happen. Now, what you do on earth will determine where you spend eternity according to the Son of God. You confess him, I'll confess you. You deny me, I'll deny you. I wonder how many here, how many people in the house tonight have confessed Christ as your Savior publicly before men. Lift your hand if you've ever done that. Just put them away. Now, you're not ashamed of Jesus, are you? There ain't nothing to be ashamed of there. You would think he'd be ashamed of us, but he's not because the blood's got us covered. I said to a girl the other day, I said, do you think God loves you? She said, well, I said, do you believe God loves you? She said, well, the Bible says so. I said, do you like you? No. I said, well, God likes you and God loves you. I said, are you righteous? She said, well, I know what the Bible says, but I got news for you tonight. Harold Vaughn is just as righteous as Jesus Christ because his righteousness has been imputed and imparted to my account, and I'm covered by the blood. Now, my wife would beg to differ on some points of practicality, but in the sight of God, I'm in. I'm justified, Brother McNeil. I'm sanctified, Brother Dan. I mean, you can't afford to sleep in because you're so far behind on your sanctification, you need to get up early and get to work, amen? But you're sanctified. You're justified. Praise God. This is pretty good. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm ashamed of some stuff, but I ain't ashamed of him. I wonder if anybody here tonight's lost. And you need to come and confess Christ publicly before men that you believe he's the Son of God. Listen to Jesus' words. Fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast your soul and body into hell. The fear of man is a misdirected fear, but the fear of God is a commanded fear. Listen to Revelation 21. But the fearful and unbelieving, listen to this, the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Who's going to be thrown into hell? The fearful, the fear of man can damn your soul. Now here's the application. We're big on applications, amen? So here it is. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and regardless of how you came into the house tonight, you can leave out of here prepared for eternity. Three crosses on Calvary's Hill. On that first cross, there was a man that died from sin. He was a criminal. He died from sin because he had done wrong. He broke the law. On the second cross, there was another thief, and he died in sin. He died in sin. He was the unrepentant thief. But on that third cross, there was a God-man who died for sin. And I'm just here to tell you, brother, you're either going to die in sin or from sin. And I'm going to tell you, there was a man on the third cross that died for your sin, so you don't have to die in sin. Somebody big as God comes to live in somebody small as you, he's going to poke out somewhere, sometime, somehow. No, you ain't perfect, but you're different, amen? You're different. You say, well, how do I get born again? How do I get saved from sin? That's really pretty simple. How do I prepare for heaven? You got to perceive the truth. You got to comprehend the truth that Christ died in your place as a substitute, a sacrifice to be your Savior. You got to perceive that. You got to understand that. You got to hear that. Then you got to believe the truth that Christ paid your sin debt in total, that he shed his blood for you. And you know what? I used to hear this. I'd hear these guys get up and talk about the blood of Jesus cleansing from all sin and Christ dying for our sin and in our place. And I remember guys saying stuff like this, that if you were the only person on the planet, God loves you so much, he would have sent his son to die in your place. I used to hear that kind of stuff, and I thought, wow, man, this is really good. How special are God's people to have a Savior like that? You've got to believe the truth. You've got to perceive the truth. But listen, you've got to receive the truth. As many as received Christ, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. You know what that means? You transfer your trust from every effort, every work, every human thing to Christ alone for your eternal salvation. Now look at this verse right here. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Read it out loud. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Read that one more time. The fear of man. You know what that means? The fear of man brings a trap. And when people have the fear of man, you know what they're doing? They're cowering. They're hiding. They're blaming. They're ducking. They don't want to be linked up with Jesus because they are absolutely afraid. The fear of man brings a snare. If you're lost tonight, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of in coming to Christ as your Savior. Now look at that verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be. You know what that means? You don't have to cower in fear. He wants to get you out of the trap into triumph. And brother, when you come to the Lord, I'm just here to tell you, you ain't hiding out no more, brother. You're just kind of out in the open. You're just there, brother. And even if 62, you can stand on the chair. Say amen on that point right there. And listen. He can bring us into the triumph that his son has provided for us tonight. So in God's name, get out of the mully grubbies. Get out of that anxiety. Get out of that depression. If you're under the cloud, I know what it's like to be there, brother. But sometimes you got to praise your way out of that situation. Turn on the Brooklyn Tabernacle, man. If you can't get no victory out of the 4-4 stamps back there, get in something else, man, and just get out there and believe the gospel and let God save you. Amen. Now tonight, some of you have trusted the Lord as your Savior. You're not ashamed of him. You lifted your hand. You publicly confessed him. But I wonder tonight, how many of God's people right here in this house tonight understand that this passage is a call to repentance? It's a call to repentance. Does anybody here need to repent of cowardice? I ain't all the time been bold my whole life. There's been times when I was afraid to talk to people and just kind of ashamed and kind of just terrible. I wonder if there's anybody here that needs to ask God for forgiveness for being ashamed of his son. I wonder if there's somebody here, you've been afraid to witness to somebody and it's a call to repent. Let me ask you this tonight. How many tonight need to get delivered from the fear of man? Right here. Anybody else here but us? How many tonight want a holy, healthy fear of God and you need to get delivered from the fear of man? Lift your hand tonight if that's you. Tired of just being half in, half out, half on, half baked, neither hot nor cold. Just, well, tonight the fear of man brings a snare, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. I'm just telling you tonight it's a call to repent, but listen, it's a call to salvation. Listen to this. You need to trust Christ alone by faith alone for salvation and publicly confess Jesus before. If you've never done this tonight, if you believe that God sent his son to die in your stead and that Christ shed his blood for you, that he was buried, that he rose again, I'm here to tell you, if you believe that If you'll publicly confess him as your Savior, you can leave out of here tonight with every one of your sins forgiven and on your way to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me on earth, I'll deny before my Father is in heaven. Stand to your feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is a call to salvation. Who in this building tonight needs to publicly confess that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he died in your place, and tonight you need to trust him as your Savior? I wonder if there's somebody here in the house tonight that would say, Harold, I've never believed on Jesus and publicly confessed him as my Savior, but I want to do that tonight. Lift your hand up way high anywhere in the auditorium this evening. Just put it up way high. That's me. I've never done this. I need to do this. I want to do this. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight with a hand uplifted? I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I wonder how many of God's people that said you wanted a holy, healthy fear of God would feel the freedom and the liberty just to respond right now and join those right here at the altar already and come and say, God, forgive me for a man-fearing spirit. God, forgive me for having this strong fear of man. Lord, baptize me with the holy fear of God. And Lord, give me courage and boldness and fill me full of grace and fill me full of truth and give me the love of God. But Lord, give me boldness and Lord, deliver me from this man-fearing spirit. What about it, men? What about it, men, in our homes? What about it? Fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is going to be safe. What about it, sisters? What about it tonight? What about it, young people? I know you're up against an immoral culture. God can help you to stand for truth. You don't have to be nasty about it. I'm just telling you, you can get filled with the Spirit of God and God can help us tonight. What about it, preachers? What about us? Whoever puts his trust in the Lord is going to be safe. God, tonight, would you drench us with a baptism of holy fear and humility? God, would the fear in our hearts of you be greater than any fear of man ever again? God, deliver us from our lack of character, from our cowardice, and Lord, God, put the Spirit of God in our hearts that we might be like Caleb, courageous, full of faith. And Lord, would you just help your people here this evening, Lord, as we make application, as we're praying for the fear of God. So I want, if you're standing tonight, I want you to just pray. If you don't need to pray for yourself, I want you to pray for others tonight that God would do something significant, something real, something genuine, and something deep in the hearts of those who are responding tonight. That God would help us. God would bless us and give us this boldness that results from being controlled by the Spirit of God. Let God have his way. We're just going to pray and we're not going to rush. Let God have his way tonight. You just talk to the Lord as he's talked to you.